Blog Talk Radio.
Where there is fire, there is smoke. And in that smoke, from this day forward, my people will crouch and conspire and plot and plan for the inevitable day of man's downfall, the day when he finally and self-destructively turns his weapons against his own kind, the day of the writing in the sky, when your cities lie buried under radioactive rubble, when the sea is a dead sea and the land is a wasteland, out of which I will lead my people from their captivity, and we shall build our own cities in which there will be no place for humans except to serve our ends. And we shall found our own armies, our own religion, our own dynasty. And that day is upon you now!
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane!
No, it's Max, Darryl, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Yes, yes, yes. Folks, we're back. Our apologies for the preempted broadcast from last Wednesday's midweek review show. We had to take care of some things behind the scenes, but we're back, full effect, live and direct. This is the Grindhouse edition of After Nerd featuring Captain Kirk and the grandiose, uncanny Darryl B. Let's go to a quick Nerdcore groove, shall we? The call-in number in the interim is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Just a quick shout-out. I'm pretty sure that the uncanny Darryl B. will talk more about this, but our condolences for the passing of yet another hero in the pulp culture pantheon, Lorenzo Simple Jr., who was the creator of the Batman TV series from the 60s, passes on. He's no longer in the building, 91 years of age. We salute you, sir, again. Lorenzo Simple, we'll talk about it and a lot more. This is, let's go to the Ramones, another classic rock group, the Ramones, the Spider-Man theme. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
Got radioactive blood, can't sleep from a thread.
doesn't get any better than that. Again, that was the Ramones, the Spider-Man theme. Without further ado, let's go to our own podcast Avengers, our own podcast Enterprise crew. First up, of course, is the captain. Captain, you're needed in every station on the bridge. How will you do it? Let's get to it, Captain.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
And, of course, you know who this young man is. He is the uncanny Daryl B. You know what? I can't find his intro. So, oh, you know what? Wait a minute. As always.
It's kind of ironic that Simple Junior dies this week because all through the lead-up for Captain America Winter Soldier, the creators have stated that they wanted to do a movie in the fashion of Parallax View and 4 Days of the Condor, which coincidentally was two of the more famous things he wrote. So, Mr. Simple Jr., condolences to your family and thank you for the memories.
Yeah, he was rather prolific. You're correct. The Parallax View, 3 Days of the Condor, King Kong, and Never Say Never Again. So, again, Lorenzo Simple, no longer in the building, definitely a staple during the 1960s. And, you know, some folks, you know, in the comic book universe, the comic book community, I think there's a bit of a nostalgia when it comes down to the Batman series. I mean, that car is iconic. I think it was sold recently. One of the original cars was sold for the George Barris car. What, $4 million, Daryl, something like that? It was a crazy amount of money.
Yeah, not cheap set of change there, no.
No. And, some folks are very critical about that TV series because, well, you know, it's considered campy and it's not what we wanted. But for that time period, I think it was rather progressive, and it would soon show you what would soon be a regular thing. It was a process, I should say. So without that series, you wouldn't have Batman vs. Superman 2014, I suspect. It had to take baby steps to get to where we are now. So I appreciate the series, to be honest with you. And actually, haven't they adapted that TV series to a comic book recently?
Yep, Daryl? The Batman 66 comic, which is one of the new DC's highest-selling books right now because people enjoy that old-timey feel. See, people often get wrong when we talk about something being too campy or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with camp in itself, as long as the audience knows what they're going in to get. You know, if you're expecting a serious motion picture and you're getting camp, you know, it's a shock to the system because everything in camp is played a bit for laughs or a bit jokey. But if camp is done right, and I use for an example, you know, look at the old In Living Color when the Wayans was still involved. Look at the Saturday Night Live, the late 70s, early 80s. When camp is done right, it's a big influence. It stays in your memory and influences talent coming up. It allows them to be creative. And that's one thing the Batman 66 series did. Thank you, Mr. Semple.
Yeah, I think we have someone on the line. I'm going to answer the call. I believe it's Mr. Sergio Mims from Shadow and Act. Again, folks, check out Shadow and Act, courtesy of IndieWire.com. I suspect he's going to talk about The Winter Soldier. From my understanding, he did see the film. When I bring him in, he's got to be very, no spoilers, keep it close to the cuff. I do not want to know anything. I actually had some degree of impulse control, gentlemen, where I stopped looking at trailers and extended 10-minute previews. I cannot get into it anymore. I got to go in there with a fresh mind, fresh start. So let's bring him in. Serge, is that you?
Yes, that is me. It is me. Yes. I am here. Right. I know. I realize. I got to be careful. I won't
Please.
Give away any plot spoilers.
Thank you.
But I will tell you this. You know me. I don't know much about comic books or comic book heroes, but I absolutely love this picture. It is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Now, why do I say that? It's because because this film is actually more James Bondian than your average comic book film. It's more Bourne Identity-ish. And actually, it's a. Have you ever seen 3 Days of the Condor?
That's what we just mentioned.
Yes.
We were just talking about it. The creator of that died recently, a few days ago.
It's basically sort of like 3 Days of the Condor for millennials. Now, of course, and even Robert Redford, of course, to make that connection, is in the film. But it's very fast-paced. For 136 minutes, it really moves. It really moves. Number two, it's incredibly violent. You know, easily this could have been an R-rated movie if it just had some blood, you know, some blood splurts in this film. A lot of people get killed. A lot of people are shot. And I was thinking to myself, I was talking to a friend of mine, why don't they make an R-rated comic book movie? Yeah, there's Blade. But, you know, do they all have to be PG-13?
Well, Watchmen.
Yeah, I'm about to say that. Watchmen was R-rated.
The Kick-Ass series, you know, those skirt the line. But, Sergio, I don't know if you remember, hey, the first Captain America movie was also incredibly violent. Hey, they just used beam weapons. But if it was blood, that would have had an R rating easily, too.
Well, yeah, this one, too. And I should say this one is clearly superior than the first one. In my opinion, clearly superior. A friend of mine about the first one hit on the dead. He said about the first Captain America movie, he said it's one of the best 2.5-star films ever seen.
There you go.
But this one is, I would give it 3.5. I think it's tremendous. It really does. And if it gets me going and it gets me excited and I go like, wow, hey, they kind of went there with that. And here's the interesting thing. The directors of the movie are the two least likeliest guys, I would imagine, is Anthony and Joe Russo are the directors of the movie.
The Russo brothers.
The two guys who – yeah, these are the guys who created Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean, these are
– sorry, Sergio. But they did an interview on CBR, Comic Book Resources. I want to say 2 weeks ago. It's still in their archives, folks, where they talked about, yeah – we took on the role, and our friends were like, you're doing this, but you did Arrested Development. And we're like, no, don't worry. We got this. So all the time I've been crossing my fingers. So Thursday midnight.
Well, they got it, and I am amazed because, once again, even a friend of mine, we were talking about the action sequences are really incredibly well done and they're quite extended. And usually in movies, that's reserved for the second unit director. But these scenes are so elaborate that they had to have been involved. They must have done some of this directing action sequences themselves. I'm amazed. I'm really amazed.
I want to ask you one thing, though, Serge. I guess perhaps the most important thing. How do you think this will translate in the box office? I mean, you know, Marvel can do no wrong, but do you think this is going to really bring it over the top?
Last week, they were predicting an $85 million opening for this. Last week. It's going to be huge. I think it's going to be a huge hit. It's probably going to do more than the original, the first one. This is going to be huge. It's going to get a lot of people. I think it's going to get a lot of people the various reason looking at me. I think it's going to get people who just love comic books. I think it's going to get people who don't, but who like good action films. And you really don't have to have seen the first one to get into this one. The film does make references to the first movie. It definitely does. But you really don't have to have seen it. It works well on its own. You know?
Did it have the customary final scene or after credit scene?
There are two of them.
Oh, okay. That's all I need to know.
but I have to tell you when. There's one during the credits, and then there's another one at the very end. And like I had to ask my friend, what was that?
All right. Well,
explain that to me. Who was that?
We don't need it. We don't need explanation. But you know, we get it.
I do. But he explained to me who they were, and you know, and I said, well, what was that all about? Well, you see, that was blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. Okay, I will tell you, the second bit at the end is a little lame.
No, don't go into specifics. Do not go into specifics.
I just say it's a little lame. But anyway.
Right now, D-Bert's got both fingers in his ears going, la, la, la,
no,
la,
no,
la, la,
la. No, okay. I'm going to say anything. You want to talk about Anthony Mackie? He's okay. Anthony Mackie is fine. Anthony Mackie is fine. He plays the Falcon. He's fine.
Right.
He's fine.
All right. The only thing, sir, is you're kind of breaking up. Because we can barely kind of
all right.
Go in.
Oh, jeez. Can you hear me now?
A little bit, but you, throughout the conversation, you've been kind of etchy. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
We're going to go to something else. Stay tuned for the second half.
You're
going to really want to. The second half you're going to want to know. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, certainly. All right.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen. Listen. I don't want to go too deep into this thing because I took the day off, and as the captain knows, this is an event for me, and I don't want to get into too much specific. I just don't want to go there. What I do want to talk about is
I know who the ending credits are.
Okay, well, let that be for yourself. I came across and see Sergio's back. Okay, I'm going to bring him in for a moment, but we're not going to talk about it. We're going to go to something else. But, Serge.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Anything in closing, because I want you to come back for the second hour, because we're going to talk about Ebony Magazine versus Juan Williams' son. Raffy Williams.
No,
I
got nothing
about
to say about Ebony anymore. Ebony can just sink in this Soho. I have nothing to say with him. This is what I'll say right now. I don't have to come back. It's been sinking for the last 2 years. I mean, they're desperate. You know, they brought in people who really don't understand the history of the magazine or what it was all about. And to be honest with you, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
All right. We're going to go to something else. If you can't come back, you know, fit in when you can't fit in. I'm going to put you on hold,
yeah.
Or, you know, because I know you, this part of it you're not really into, the comic book stuff. But I know that, listen, when you gave really a ringing endorsement for The Winter Soldier, it's really got to be good if you like it. So I'm on board. I'm on board anyway, but I'm glad that you liked it. That means it's 100% then.
Yeah, it's
all right,
it just works. It absolutely works, you know, and it's one of those things that is really, really well constructed, no matter how you put it together, in terms of the script, in terms of the acting, in terms of set design, you know, in terms of direction. It's really solidly put together in every aspect.
Sounds good. All right, Serge, we're going to continue with more goofy. We'll go back to goofy comic stuff. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Sergio Mims, ladies and gentlemen, that's Sergio Mims from Shadow and Act. Definitely an excellent blog, a better way, I don't even want to mention Media Takeout or Bossip in the same breath with Shadow and Act. He does a fair share of, I mean, he highlights what I consider highbrow black entertainment, film, movies on an international level. And, of course, comic book stuff does come through his site. Again, Shadow and Act, IndieWire.com, check him out. I want to talk about the 99 comic. I've seen this comic here and there in the comic book store, and I glanced at it and really didn't know what it was about. Sometimes there's just so much stuff going on in the comic book store that I miss things. And then there's things that I do know about that the retailer, you know, kind of doesn't really support. That's something that's a topic for another show. The 99 comic is a Islamic comic. And I know there was a crossover event with the Heroes of the 99 and the JLA. The 99 represents the different the different names for Allah, if I'm not mistaken. And those different names in this sense are embodied in 99 Heroes. So if there's a name for Allah, let's say Strength, then that's a hero. I think the premise is pretty good, actually, but from my understanding, Saudi Arabia has banned this book, and you can imagine that, you know, we've seen this before, cartoons, any kind of intellectual property that doesn't jibe well with fundamentalist Muslims is going to be a problem. The creator of the book is a Dr. Naif El Mutawa. He's the CEO of Teshkil Media Group. I like what he represents. I like what he's doing. I would liken him maybe to a Islamic version of what Dwayne McDuffie was doing with Milestone Media. But you're dealing with fundamentalist culture. It appears to be a problem. So the Beast, excellent website, even though they're more on the liberal side of things, I'll still give them props. They did a piece on this thing. Now, I have a quick clip, briefly, about the 99. So I'm going to play that, and then we'll unpack. Hold on, folks.
Prepare yourself for a genuine surprise.
You started off with a comic book that you created based around the 99 names of God, and you basically created the Muslim doppelganger of Superman here.
The 99 was created with the idea of creating positive content for children based on Islamic content. The people representing us in the media today are the people who scream the loudest or make the loudest explosions, but not necessarily people who I want my children to see as role models.
The 99 is cool and is better than Spider-Man, X-Man, Hulk.
I worked for Marvel Comics for 20 years, and I'd never seen anything like this.
Dr. Naif Al Mutawa of Kuwait. His comic books have captured the imagination of so many young people with superheroes who embody the teachings and tolerance of Islam. Absolutely.
The idea of portrayal of Muslim characters is very controversial. We're looking at pictures right now of protests because of depictions of the Prophet.
The photography that this individual Naif is studying in is very, very dangerous for him personally.
I believe what I'm doing is a very positive thing to Islam as a way to neutralize, you know, those that abuse Islam for very negative purposes.
The hope is that one day we can move this child to that.
In this 99, there are some ideas clash with the Holy Quran terms and with the tradition of Prophet Muhammad.
I've just found out from the Saudi Arabian Ministry of Information that 99 will not be allowed into Saudi. The ministry could effectively kill what I'm trying to do.
Was this a doomed endeavor from the start? I mean, were the cultures just so radically different that you can't take something American to an Arab society?
For me, the problem is not in fundamentalism. The problem is when the noose is tightened around those that don't think in that way. This is the biggest fear I have for myself, for my children, for the future of this part of the world. And so, for me, I feel a very strong personal responsibility and accountability to do what I can do. And this is my contribution.
All right, we're back. Again, you heard from Dr. Al Mutawa himself. You also heard from President Barack Obama giving him accolades and praise for his comic book. I want Daryl B. to weigh in on this because I've seen the comic, glanced at it, and it's just one of those things that I missed because there's so much stuff going on in the comic store. So I'm going to backtrack and get some of the issues. Daryl, what do you know about this 99? I know I've seen it in the stores, just never got into it.
I got the first couple of issues of it. And this is where, if there was ever a time I was going to get killed, or ever a time I was going to get killed for a statement, it's going to happen right now. And I'll just say this, and I'll be frank, and I'll be blunt about it, all right? The reason why I consider all religion to be poppycock in one way or another is what you're hearing right here, all right? Here is a man, okay, who, if you read the comic, if you ever read the comic, even if you read the crossover with JLA, okay? If you read it, this is nothing but positives here. Nothing but positives. And let's face it, if there's a religion on earth that needs a positive thing right now, because of their perception around the world, it's the Muslim faith. It's, this book is totally positive, all right? Sure, you have bad guys in the book, but I akin the team to if you combine Milestone with Billy Batson, Captain Marvel, Shazam, whatever you want to call them. That's essentially what it is. These people are gifted with these powers, with each taking an aspect of these 99 deities, 99 holy people, 99 religious forces of the Muslim faith, of Allah, of the Quran. It's something, this book is something I wish I had for black communities, espousing some of our heroes, some of our gods, some of our, if you catch the point, where you could give it to a little kid who's been questioning, or what is God, why do we do this, what do we do? This is the type of book you would give to them, okay? But instead, it's met with hate. It's met with, oh, you're not supposed to write about this. Everything's stern. No imagination. Why do this? This is a blasphemy. They actually use the word blasphemy for a comic book. You know, it'd be one thing if he wrote a book that was totally decrying the religion and was selling it to little kids of the religion. He isn't doing that here. He's putting out something positive here. He said it himself in the clip. I wanted to do something positive so that my kids, so that other people's kids, so that other people could read and learn. And you're doing this? Sometimes I look at the world and I go like, you know what? All you guys are crazy. Just all you guys are crazy. If you can't see beyond the surface, oh, they're making a comic. Oh, it's going to be this. This ain't South Park making fun of Muhammad. This ain't no political cartoon depicting Muhammad in a less than ideal fashion. This is actually something positive. But these closed-minded bleep bleep morons. You know what? I'm going to control myself. Like I said, I'm controlling myself on this. I'm controlling myself, all right? And again, it doesn't come on a great week for Muslims. If you've seen anything on the internet involving a blonde woman at one of their universities in Egypt, you know, wearing pink, I'm not even going to say it, but and then I'm reading and I see this pop up and I'm like, you know what? Some people just don't want help. To the doctor, keep on doing the book. Don't let these guys win. Keep on doing the book. You're putting a positive influence here. All right? To the closed-minded people in the world, you know what? Stay closed-minded, but don't interfere with my stuff. Don't interfere with something that can have a positive impact, because I'm not going to get infected by your hate. You'll die in flames. Back to you, Afronerd.
Thanks, Daryl. Listen, I want to bring in the captain in a moment, but I want to say a few things just to kind of give historical context to this thing. Again, folks, we're talking about the 99 comic book, and it is a book that was created by Dr. Al Mutawi. We played a clip earlier where we even heard the president give him accolades. But this is not new. I mean, we've seen these kind of things. We're talking about the fatwa that has been put against this book. Saudi Arabia refuses to have the book published in the country. I think Kuwait as well. I saw this years ago with noted author Salman Rushdie with his Satanic Verses novel. That novel also angered many in the Muslim community. Now, to be specific and to be respectful, and this, I have to remind us of Daryl, we got to say specifically the fundamentalist faction of the Islamic community. We're not talking about progressive folk. We're not talking about moderates. We're talking about a specific faction. Not unlike, I can't recollect the minister that just passed a few days ago, a few weeks ago,
No,
we don't need to say his name either.
Westboro Baptist Church that would protest, you know, if it was a funeral of a soldier or, I mean, something that was undeniably not controversial, they would construe it in some way, and they would protest while people were mourning. So, you know, and that's under the guise of religion. You know, when you think about what would happen with the Klan, see, people fail to realize that there's a Western precedent for this kind of stuff also, that the Klan would burn crosses in front of the black homeowners. And that's a shout-out to religion, burning a cross. They would hang you up, kill you as a black person, terrorize your family, using religion, the cross, as cover. So this is it's a bizarro thing. The book is overwhelmingly positive. There was a PBS special about this thing. I've got to look up the PBS special for my own edification, and I would suggest that our listenership do it as well. A PBS documentary on it. And you see the Islamic children that are so emboldened, they're so just as excited and psyched out about this thing. Because, I mean, this is what we would want. You know, this is, I mean, I can still look at this as a positivist, but for someone who is Islamic, for someone who is Muslim, a Muslim child, this is an important thing, just as if there were a black child or a brown child looking at something that represents him or her. It's exciting. These children have been excited. And again, the 99 represents the different names of Allah, the 99 names of Allah, a.k.a. strength, light, wisdom, fighting evil. Dr. Naif Al-Mutawa, he's a psychologist. He knows what he's doing. He went into this because of the 9/11 attacks. He knew what was going to happen afterward, that there's going to be a prejudice and racial attacks because of what a few Muslim folks did. So this book is a very powerful book, but it's so powerful that it has to be knocked down. But we have to remind ourselves that when folks threaten violence from a religious perspective, it's a real thing. These threats are to be taken very seriously. When you think about, as I mentioned, Salman Rushdie and his satanic verses, there were folks. His life was threatened directly. He was under house protection. He really couldn't move around that much. And some of the folks that were associated with his book were killed. I'm looking here that a Japanese translator was stabbed to death in 91. Hitoshi Igarashi was stabbed to death as his Japanese translator. His Italian translator was stabbed. Wasn't killed. Was stabbed. I mean, you know, it's crazy. Publishers. I mean, you know, this is under the guise of religion. Let's bring in the captain. Captain, your thoughts on the 99?
Well, here's the reality, so everyone can understand. I give you the new numbers. There's 2.2 billion Christians on the planet. There's 1.7 billion Muslims on the planet. That's nearly 4 billion people caught up in just those two religions. Those are the most dominant religions. And unbeknownst to a lot of people, some people may know this, it was the Muslims that allowed the Jewish people to practice their religion after the killing of Jesus. And what do we have today? We have Jewish people in a constant fight with the Muslims. And it was the Muslims that kept the Jewish people going. You can look that up in your history. Now, the next thing you have to understand, the way a positive works, somebody has to get the toxic waste. That's just the mathematics on it. Hence, you have a positive and you have a negative. Let me repeat that. In order to have a positive, you have to have a negative. Someone has to get the toxic waste. That negative could be anybody. That could be a small, you know, faction groups or somebody or anything of that sort or that nature. Someone has to get a negative. There's no way you can have a total positive and no one will get a negative. That's just the nature of it. So the nature of beings is such this. If there is 300,000 of you over here doing this, and there's 500,000 of us over here doing this, what do? We meet, we greet, we sit down, and we go get them. They're not allowed to have a difference of opinion unless they stay over there. So what? That's what essentially what you have here going with this book. That's all what it is. It's a bunch of opinions running behind religion that has been happening since the beginning of time. And this will continue because, based on the mathematics, that is the nature of things. There's no way around it. In order to have a positive, someone has to have the toxic waste. And I'll make it more simple in case you miss it. In order for you to get hired, someone gets fired. In order for you to get hired, someone gets laid off. You understand? That's how it works. That's just how everything works. Now, there's no right and wrong with this. That's just the reality of it. So it depends who receives the positive. They feel more or less that this is the way it's to go. If someone's is receiving the negative, they're going to complain about it, whatever they're in. You could be a bunch of Bloods and Crips. If you receive the negative, you're going to have a problem. And most people will say that the Bloods and Crips are something entirely negative. So this all relates back to the comic book. It's just a difference of opinion based on religions that has been happening since the beginning of time. There you have it. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I don't really want to get into so much of an Afro Nerdic conversation because this is the comic shop, but sometimes I go there because, you know, Daryl said with a great deal of passion about his view of religion. I have to say I am agnostic myself because of this very notion. You know, religion is supposed to be about love and tolerance and acceptance and a whole bunch of other things, but very much a positive affirmations. But then it's twisted where people are dying because we're not believing what you believe in, or there's some kind of misinterpretation. So you're dying because I interpret something different than you interpret it. The fact that there's so many different factions of a religion, even in Christianity, you know, whether you're a Mormon or a Catholic or a Baptist, these different groups don't really see things eye to eye, although they're under the same umbrella of Christianity. It's all hokum to me. It just is. And again, we've seen people treated reprehensibly to this day and in the past based on religion. I can easily say that my God, Jor-El, sent his only son, Kal-El, to save us from our sins. That can be my religion. It probably is my religion. I mean, you know, I could just make it up. It sounds just as goofy as these other notions. I mean, I try to be respectful of people's religions. I do try. But we see the idiocy and this need to push it on people. And I think another reason why this 99 is problematic for some of these religious states, religious nation states, is because it is using a Western medium, which is the comic book. That's probably what it really boils down to, beyond the interpretive dealings. It's because it's a comic. A comic book is very much Americana. It just is. I want to read something from the Daily Beast, and then we're going to move along. This is coming from some of the words from Dr. Al Mutawa himself. I really feel for his frustration because he's going into what he's dealing with and also the fact that he spoke with the president as well. Quickly here, it says, his comic books have captured the imaginations of so many young people with superheroes who embody the teachings and tolerance of Islam, Obama told a group of young entrepreneurs in 2010. Obama alluded to his own 2009 speech in Cairo, reaching out to the Muslim world to build a better future for all. After that, said the president, Al Mutawa had a similar idea, so in his comic books, Superman and Batman reach out to their Muslim counterparts, the president said as the audience laughed warmly, and I hear they are making progress too. But now it appears that sort of progress, those sorts of liberal forward-looking ideas, are being suppressed once again in Saudi Arabia, where the Grand Mufti and his council recently issued a fatwa calling the comics and the television show based on them
evil work that need to be shunned. Al Mutawa summed up his own frustration and very, very possibly Obama's as well in a phone call with the Daily Beast this morning. "We put Saudi superheroes on global television," he said. "We are saying we are the good guys, not the bad guys. And these people are saying, no, you are wrong. We actually are the bad guys. Stop spreading lies, Naif." So he's dealing with it. He's dealing with it. I just hope that his family and, of course, Dr. Naif, that he remains safe, because I just told you about what happened to the folks that were just tangentially connected to Salman Rushdie. This is a serious thing. As lighthearted as a comic book can get, the politics that are attached to it, gentlemen, very serious.
I'll say this real quick, and then we'll get to that. I will say this. Anything that tells you that violence is the first answer, anything that tells you that not to think, but you got to ban and you got to do it right away without even using your own brain, is wrong to me. These guys never read the book. These guys just see comic, Muslim faith, Muhammad, Allah's names. That's all they saw, and it's the work of the devil. You know what? Like I said, they'll burn in their own ignorance. Back to you, Afrinert.
Well, you know, I got to mention one other thing also. I got to go to the calls as well. Just to put it in perspective, based on what Dow just said, when you hear this, it puts it in perspective. This is going back to the Daily Beast article. It says, of course, Saudi religious leaders have always lived to some extent in a medieval world of their own. In 2000, the then Grand Mufti insisted the earth was flat and disc-shaped and the sun revolved around it. He insisted that satellite images that showed the contrary were part of a Western conspiracy against Islam. Since then, another lesser Saudi cleric claimed that Mickey Mouse was one of Satan's soldiers. These and other silly rulings opened Saudi Arabia up to such ridicule that in 2010, King Abdullah issued his own edict restricting the issuing of fatwas to those clerics approved of by the monarch. I mean, you know, even he came out and said, okay, you say Mickey Mouse is the devil, you're going to have to kind of pull that back. So rein it in a little bit. Whatever. Let's go to the calls. We have more topics, of course. 703, the Grindhouse, the comic shop. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Hey, everybody, this is Bikes for Life outside of D.C.
Hey, how you doing, B?
Hey, Daryl B, you need to calm down, brother. Did you go to the comic shop on Wednesday? You kind of heated.
No. It's just when I see something this positive, all right, and I was over there. I served over there. All right? When I see something this positive that can make a profound impact on those kids' lives and try to get them away from violence, you know, it will get me heated. And it's ignorance in this religion and all religions that's responsible for about 20% of the F-ups that's happening in the world today, I would say.
Hey, I'm going to touch on this real quick, D-Bird, and I'm going to kind of move to something else. I know you kind of got a lot on your plate. Like Daryl B., I say since 9/11, I've been deployed like maybe 6 years. So I spent a lot of time in the Middle East and in other places. I want to just say this, and I'm going to keep moving. We got to get out that Western mindset, because when you go over there, it's a different – everything isn't based on democracy. A lot of countries are based on religion as a rule of law. So that's a whole different – like Saudi Arabia, they have morality police. And if a woman is uncovered, they have sticks. They will beat her down in the street. But that's neither here nor there. I'm going to stop and move on to something else. I don't know if you have a subject, because I came in a little later. I don't know if you started late or not. But any thoughts on as Winter Soldier as it comes up? I don't know if you touched on that. On the X-Men trailer, a lot of people freaking out over the Sentinels. So if you touched that, I apologize. If not, it's like, what's your opinion on the X-Men Days of Future Past trailer? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Bison, appreciate it, as always. Well, you know, what we were going to talk about actually, Daryl, is that, you know, we didn't get into this last week. It's a couple of things. Let's just try to get into a general thing. We got Arrow, stuff going on with Arrow. I heard the voice of Tara Strong, who does Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty comical. You know, she said that I'm a psychologist or something like that, which she is. So I saw that they're sneaking in some stuff now. They're really getting deep with Arrow. So I think that has to be commended. We got to acknowledge it. But I'm assuming that Harley Quinn is going to show up there at some point. That's one thing. Then are we to expect this week, will we see some kind of tie-in from S.H.I.E.L.D. going into Friday's Winter Soldier? And also the fact there's some kind of mystery Marvel movie from Fox that, you know, that they're hinting at something, but we don't know what it is. What about all this stuff, Darryl? What can you tell us?
Well, what can I say is I'm not expecting the tie-in to Winter Soldier this week on S.H.I.E.L.D. The Harlequin one, that was to be expected. Why? Because Harlequin in the New 52 started out as a member of the Suicide Squad. If you guys remember, and remember the controversy over her picks that they had people submit. So I expected to have some sort of shout-out to the New 52 in that episode. I didn't expect Harley Quinn, but hey, you know what? It wasn't surprising after seeing it. What was the other thing? Oh, Bice wanted to know about Days of Future Past. Quick, you know what? I got to see the movie, but... Hey, the first thought when I saw those things was Terminator, the Liquid Terminator. That's what I thought when I saw those Sentinels. You know, I thought, hey, Robert coming around the corner anytime now. You know, but I will say this, and it's disjointed because it's a lot to go in, and we still got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to get to and everything like that. Go like I'm trying to keep an open mind. But in these things, you see some of the failings. You really see some of the failings of the products being shown if you show too much of it. That was one of my fears with Captain America Winter Soldier. You show it too much of the movie. You show it too much of the movie. That's what inside me, little 14-year-old Daryl, is saying. There's too much. Hold something back. All right? Just put out quality. That's all I want. All I want is quality. Don't, you give us the Harlequin thing on Arrow, don't mess that up, all right? You give us what you gave us in the Days of Future Past trailers, already I'm hearing that Halle Berry's cut out of the movie. Really? Already? Like, guys, please just stop with the rumors. You guys put more time into doing rumors and inside peeks and innuendos instead of putting quality on screen. And it's hurting us. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, let's go to the captain on this. What are your thoughts about what you've been seeing on TV, I should say? Arrow seems to be getting more, really not afraid to deal with some of the comic book mythology. I'm seeing more of it really morphing on that show. I'm curious if Arrow will lead into live-action stuff on the big screen. They hint at it. They hint at it, but they don't seem to be making any confirmations. We see that Marvel is unafraid to have some of these characters, you know, interchange or exchange between the big screen and the little screen. DC has always made distinctions, and I don't know if that's going to be. I don't know if that's going to play well as we see as things go deeper into comic book stuff. What are your thoughts on Arrow and Winter Soldier coming up, or even the X-Men movie, X-Men trailers, I should say?
All right, Arrow essentially is all over the place, but it works. So far, in my opinion, they have not dropped the ball. But eventually, they will drop a ball in an episode or two where you're going to have myself and also Daryl B. say, oh, they messed up there. It's going to happen because they're doing so much. This is just the nature of the beast. When you're dealing with it from a TV standpoint, eventually you're going to drop the ball. You're going to mess up. because it's just too much. You got this one coming in, this one coming out. So far, so good. I like Arrow. I'm enjoying Arrow. It's good every week to week. So far, it's a good look. Winter Soldier looks like it's going to be really good. All right, just looks like it's going to be a very good movie, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an event. I'm making it to an event. So whoever doesn't like it, too bad, as far as that's concerned. It is what it is. I'm making it into an event. I'm making it into a big deal. Nah, 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 nah. Okay, so now, as far as the X-Men trailer. Now, it's better than I thought what's happening. You know, it looks like it's coming together from this standpoint. You know, normally these individuals, when they do these, you know, when they first came up with it and I saw it, I said, okay, Days of Future Past and everything, they're going to drop the ball again. Then looking at the trailer, I'm like, I don't know. You know, right now it's on my good side as far as that trailer is concerned. It's on my good side. Let's see what develops, you know, as we get closer and everything else. So it looks like a good look so far, as far as that. Now, if we want to talk about anything else, such as Almost Human and shows like that, Almost Human is a so-so show. You know, I don't think it's really that good. You know, it's hit or miss. It's not bad. You know, let me see. Anything else I want to talk about? That's about it.
Oh, wait, Cap, where you think the mystery to the movie is? I'm rolling dice. I'm hoping it's New Mutants.
What, in the future?
The Fox Mystery Marvel, the Fox Mystery Marvel movie that they have on their slate. What do you think it's going to be? I'm rolling dice. I'm hoping to see Cannonball. I'm hoping to see the New Mutants there. I'm dreaming.
I think they should do something with Phoenix. That's just my opinion. But hey, what do I know? I don't know anything. You know, who knows?
Well, actually, you know, you're on to something there because I'm surprised they haven't dealt with her coming back. I mean, we saw Jean Grey die in which one was X-Men 2 or 3? Which one was that, Daryl, that she actually died in?
Well, yeah, 3. 2, she kind of died. 3, she came back as Dark. And, of course,
Wolverine.
You have the segments in the Wolverine where people are like, that was her. No, that was a dream sequence. But that was her. It was a dream sequence. But her name is Phoenix, so she will be coming back someday.
Yeah,
well, you know
that's
what?
Maybe
you know what? That might be one of the linchpins in this new reboot, these reboots. I would think they would have to bring Franca Johnson back. And I mean, everybody else is back. So I'm thinking that
except for a Cyclops. Of course, can't bring that back. Yeah.
Well, you know, listen, they'll figure out something. But, I mean, listen, I'm going to see this, but I don't seem to have the excitement for the X-Men movies simply because it's not a Marvel Entertainment thing. And I think you start to, like Daryl said, you start to see the flaws with these films when they're not under the Marvel umbrella, really.
Oh, yeah.
Sony's Spider-Man is better to me. Better as far as not being a Marvel Entertainment product and still be. I can pretty much still see Sony's Spider-Man being a bit seamless with the Avengers. But I can't see that transition with the X-Men as comfortably. Bad Dog, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I look at it this way, all right? Fox, Sony, listen to Garfield, even though I don't agree with him in the role. Listen to Hugh Jackman, all right? Stole your pride, all right? If we were to get a crossover, X-Men Fantastic Four, X-Men Spider-Man, Fantastic Four Spider-Man, or even a crossover between you guys and the Avengers, listen, you would trump DC spinning their wheels with the JLA. Listen to them. This is to make money, gosh darn it. What, you hate money? While Warner Brothers and DC can't get their dog poopy together, make it happen. But no, it isn't going to happen because Fox, Fox doesn't want to. Oh, no, we're Fox. We don't need any help. We look, please, for the love of God, get your acts together. I'm talking about billions of dollars here. All of a sudden, sounding like the old men from Risky Business.
Quickly,
go ahead,
we got about 4 minutes remaining. What about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer, the reboot? I never really was into that property. I mean, I did see the cartoons years ago. But this trailer kind of is bringing me in, maybe because the turtles look believable
Shrek?
To me in some way.
What?
They look a little. I don't know. And I thought there was a beef with Michael Bay and the actress that's in here.
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. He still hired her after firing her in the Terminator. I mean, in the Transformer movies.
Oh, I will say this about it real quick. I'll say this: the beginning about it. Of it, I don't know who they have doing sound. You should not use the soundtrack of Transformers. This should be a totally different beast. That took me out of the first part of the trailer. But the second part of the trailer brought me back with the snow scene. Folks, if you haven't seen the snow scene, it looks really good. All right? So with Bay, he's going to make me pull my hair out, but I know he's going to have a couple of action sequences, which will it's crap, but it's good-looking crap. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
And again, two minutes remaining, Powers TV on PlayStation. I don't know if we actually got into that. This is going to be a live-action TV series or animated?
Live-action. It's going to be the live-action one, and this is we were waiting for the PlayStation Network to launch their volley against Netflix. All right, and we'll have more on this next week because we got to talk about the Iron Fist thing. We got to talk about this next week with Powers, but this is the first step. Sony wants to be a player with Netflix, with Roku, with all of that stuff. They want to be a player in this. Powers, they're looking at to challenge. So we'll see.
One more question. I might have mentioned this before. Why can't we seem to get these cartoons in that format? Since they seem to not want to support them on Cartoon Network, the cartoons like Green Lantern and Beware the Batman and the Young Justice and all that kind of stuff, why can't we see that on those platforms? That would be more direct to the audience, wouldn't you think?
Because we're not Canadian and we're not from the Netherlands. And we're not from Britain, because they seem to get all of these runs in full while we get cut up because, oh, it's not marketing toys. Damn you. Just damn you.
Okay.
All right. As always, Daryl, we'll do it again next week. Coming up, Afternoon Radio featuring Captain Kirk.
Spock with a beard?
I think not.
He's going to tell black people what to do.
He recites some history.
Please, all these gangster rappers telling black people with college educations what to do. That doesn't strike you as odd?
Okay, so you're saying that lower class blacks have the upper and middle class in check.
You know it. You'd get called Uncle Tom in a second if you went against the kind of agenda they set. Right? I mean, I'm not saying be white, but this tough guy stuff is not exactly your Stanley Kaplan formula for success. Imagine if white people were dictated to by white trash. We'd all live in trailer parks and West Virginia would be the most populous state.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lot of...
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, and once again, good evening, folks. This is D-Bert, a.k.a. the Afro-Nerd, and this is the second half of the House. This is Afro-Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We're going to get to a quick urban alternative groove, black rock, psychedelic soul. You know what we do. And then we're going to really get into some heavy subject matter once again with how black folk are supposed to think. If you do not think like the black arbiters wish you to think, there will be repercussions. And I received my comeuppance in quotes, and I will play it for you. I called Rob Redding, the Rob Redding Show. He's, of course, related in some way to Otis Redding. He considers himself an independent, but I suspect he's more progressive. And definitely more on the tribal way of thinking when it comes to blackness. And I'm not tribal that way. I'm just not. I go in and out of it. I have an independent mindset. So we were talking about Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, even although I'm not really a fan of his, I admire his athletic prowess. But as a human being, on occasion, he seems to be kind of an awful human being, but this one time, what is it that the captain and I always talk about? A broken clock tells the correct time twice a day. There's going to be an occasion where someone you might not like actually says something that makes sense. He made something that made sense to me about how he perceives some of these high-profile cases, the Trayvon Martin murder. I thought what he said was pretty on point, but there's many in the black community that want to label Mr. Bryant a Uncle Tom. We'll get into it. I don't get it. Excuse me. I don't get it. All right. Going to a quick herbalt groove. This is Disclosure with Nile Rodgers, Sam Smith, Jim Nakes. Together. Together. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
I can see the kind of temperance.
absolute best of urban alternative groove. That was Disclosure with Nile Rodgers, Sam Smith, and Jim Nates together. Folks, this is The Grindhouse, the second half, known as Afternerd, featuring Captain Kirk. Speaking of the captain, Captain wants a gain, as always, needed in the ready room and engineering. How will he do it? Captain, let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Yeah. At the beginning of the show, or the top of the show, I spoke about my appearance on Rob Redding, which was, I believe, just yesterday. And he's been going on a real tear for two shows straight about L.A. Laker Kobe Bryant. Now, Kobe Bryant, in an article recently, said that he didn't feel compelled to talk about black issues weigh in on a black thing just because the person is black. That I'm paraphrasing here, one must observe, check out the facts, and when we don't do that and when we racialize everything, we're not moving society forward. Now, on the surface, what he's saying doesn't really offend my senses. But someone or many are taking this to be a slap against the black community, and he's getting that Uncle Tom pejorative. And also he talks about being a monolith. I mean, we saw this coming up a couple of months ago when the great Jim Brown, can't take anything away from him, legendary football player and actor Jim Brown, was being interviewed by Arsenio Hall. And when he was talking about, at that time, it's months ago now, Kobe coming back and playing basketball, he said he's a phenomenal athlete, can't take anything away from him. But when his crew in the 60s, who had more of a black consciousness, when they were asked to support Muhammad Ali, who at that time lost his boxing license and was very much in trouble with the U.S. government because he was called to fight in Vietnam, and he refused under religious purposes, his religious views, he said if things were different and if Kobe were around that time, he wouldn't call someone like Kobe. Matter of fact, he said, There were athletes that he likened to Kobe Bryant and that he would not call Kobe for something like this. So that really resonated throughout the cyberwebs, throughout the media for a minute. And Stephen A. Smith weighed in. He tried to be kind of the mediator between these two. And Kobe likened himself to being a global man of color. And that can mean different things to different people, but he's very much not into, and he has said quite forthrightly, I'm not about the monolith. I have my own mindset. And I tell you something, whether you agree or disagree with Mr. Bryant, and I said I'm not a fan for some of his comportment issues on other things, but for this issue, I kind of like the way he tackled it. So anyway, on a show like Rob Redding, he's not going to allow you to speak logically. He very much, and I believe he even says he's friends with Sean Hannity, so you know what that means. They have a certain style that if they're on a tear and you don't agree with that tear, then you're going to be disrespected, you're going to be cut off, and you're not going to be allowed to have a cogent conversation, cogent discourse. And that's exactly what it is. And I got whipped, jokingly. So it's going to be, I'm going to play it for humor,
but that I'm going to unpack and really get into what the deal is. So once again, this is AfroNerd on the Rob Redding Show getting whipped. Hold on.
888-855-762-3080 to get into the radio program. AfroNerd in New York, how are you?
Yes, Rob. Nice to hear from you.
Listen, good to hear from you.
I'm not so sure about this. You know, I'm going to weigh in a little differently than you do.
What do you mean you're not so sure about this? Are you like Kobe? You're not sure what about the facts of the Trayvon Martin case? I mean, we know the facts at this point. George Zimmerman's innocent.
Well, there's a couple of things.
What's a couple of things? What?
Well, you know, listen, you know, I speak very clear. I don't mince around. I think that this kid with Kobe Bryant, I would want to weigh in on him to see exactly what he says afterward. Let's get the whole gist of what he's trying to talk about. Because I tell you why. If you remember the Duke rape case.
Stop. This is not Duke. We know all the facts in the Trayvon Martin case. So what are you saying about? No, wait, stop. Go back to Kobe Bryant. What do we need to know about what he's saying now about Trayvon Martin? What else do we need to know? You said we need to know all the facts of basically what he's saying. What more do we need to know about what he's saying?
No, what he said was that I'm not going to support anyone just because they're black. I would want to see all the facts.
Right.
There are now, you don't want to hear about the Duke Ray case, but I have to point it out, Rob, because black folks went to the hills on that. The perpetrator in that case is in jail now, and that was over based on an overzealous prosecutor.
Okay, all right. So but we're talking about apples and oranges, okay? We're not talking about a rape case. We're talking about a murder case. I mean, we are talking about apples and oranges. We're talking about a rape versus a murder case. Now, let me come back to something here. But hold on a second. Wait, stop. Let me come back to something here. We're talking about a murder case. We're talking about him saying that he didn't want to come down immediately on the side of the black community. Again, that's not the point. Whether it came down on George Zimmerman's side or whether it came down on the side of the black community is not the issue. The fact is he's saying that he didn't have all the facts. He didn't want to make a statement. The President of the United States made a statement about this. So, again, the thing that nobody's dealing with, AfroNerd, is who the hell is Kobe Bryant? Who has to make a statement for Kobe Bryant to feel like all the facts are in? If the President of the United States makes a statement about this case, it seems like Kobe Bryant could make a statement.
There were folks that had a problem with Obama as the president weighing in on.
Not concerned about that either. I think President Obama was right to make the statement. As a matter of fact, I was one of the people that called, and people were upset with me, AfroNerdy. You remember this. When I called and I said, President Obama needs to say something about this. People said, no, President Obama doesn't need to say. He needs to stay out of it. You know, these white folks, they gonna hang him if he makes a statement. I said, I don't care. He needs to make a statement. This case is too big. He's got to make a statement. And finally, he made a statement. I think that was the right call.
I don't want to rehash the specifics of the
I'm sure you don't. Case. I'm sure you don't. Because rehashing the minutiae means that if President Obama makes a statement, that means Kobe Bryant, who the hell is he? He's not bigger than the President of the United States. He might think so in his own head, but he's not bigger than the President of the United States. So that means that he would need to make a statement.
No. What I said was, if you give me a courtesy of completion, is that if you're dealing with certain cases, high-profile cases that have a racial tint to them, we will look foolish if we're fools rush in. And that might be the case in this situation.
That wasn't the case in the Trayvon Martin case.
That wasn't the case.
You're kind of like looking in this crystal ball. We don't know. We do know what happened with the Trayvon Martin case. George Zimmerman's innocent. I'm willing to accept that. George Zimmerman's innocent. He walks. We do know what happened with this case. So that is what happened with this case. Was President Obama right for making a statement? The answer is yes. Was Kobe Bryant right for not making a statement? The answer is we now know no.
Rob.
What? You keep saying, Rob, what? Tell me what you mean. Be clear.
I'm being very clear. What I'm saying is, just like Kobe Bryant saying is that I'm not going to support everyone just because they're black. If we did that in the other
I am not saying that Kobe Bryant's Afro-nerd. I am not saying that Kobe Bryant has to say that Kobe Bryant has to say that Trayvon Martin was wrongly killed by George Zimmerman. Didn't you hear me say over and over again last hour, yesterday, repeatedly, just now, that he could have said that George Zimmerman's right? Didn't you hear me say that?
That didn't go well either.
I don't care whether it goes over well. I am saying I don't need him to say that Trayvon Martin was right.
You think you need to put some kind of comment on it.
Period. It was a national issue. President Obama said something. He needed to say something. Period. If President Obama had said George Zimmerman was right, at least he said something. It was a national issue. It was a major story. It was one of those stories you just could not ignore. Who the hell is Kobe Bryant? And I'm winning both of these arguments. He could have said whatever he wanted to say, and for him to say that all the facts were not in was just wrong, Afro nerd, and you know it. Whip him! No, that's enough. That's it. Whip him!
Okay, you know what?
Whip him! No, that's it, Afro nerd. That's it. Bye.
You don't want to be fair.
What did I say? Didn't I say bye to Afro nerd? Why am I still hearing it? Stop the stinger. Why am I still hearing Afro Nerd? Didn't I say goodbye to him? Whip him! Whip him! I want to hear the whip! Whip him! Louder! Whip him! Get off the plantation! Back with more of Ready News Review, the show in moments.
Niggas love to not know. Niggas love to not know.
Oh, man.
Niggas love to not know.
Oh, man.
Ow!
See, now, here's one thing someone could say. You're going to whip another black man on, you know, journalistic live radio? I don't know about that. We could make that into a whole show.
Listen, I maintain my comportment, but I knew what he was doing.
Entertainment, baby. Entertainment.
Now, This show, for the remainder of the show, we're going to be talking about this and other issues, but there's really a kind of glue, a kind of theme or meme, as we always say, that ties all these stories together about, I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to think. And if you don't think the way that I think, there's going to be hell for you. Now, he did two programs just on Kobe Bryant not really agreeing with the masses of black folk. And he's to be ostracized at this point. And the fact that, listen, I didn't have the mic. On our show, I try really hard to be respectful. That even if you really are disrespectful to me, then I'm going to cut you off. But I'm going to allow you to have your thoughts. This is not the case. You know, this is half entertainment. So I know what it is on the radio side of things, that he's going to hype things up. I'm going to remain calm. I'm not going to start yelling. I'll leave that up to him. It's not that serious. But the reality is that we have been, as a community, if we're going to be tribal, and this cannot be refuted, we have done this before, and we've made mistakes. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. That old adage, fools rush in, angels fear to tread. With the Duke rape case, he says, well, that's apples and oranges. That's like, I need to have that clip pulled, Captain. That's like who you are named after, the other Captain Kirk, when he says, sabotage. This is sabotage. And then when he's called upon, I'm talking about a voiceover segment, very infamous comical voiceover routine that the actor William Shatner did, where he was asked to say the word sabotage. He says sabotage repeatedly. So then the person in the booth says, hey, Bill, it's not sabotage, it's sabotage. And his arrogance, you say sabotage, I say sabotage. Well, who says what you say is right? I say sabotage. This is what this is about, clip actually, that sabotage clip. This is what we're talking about. When I brought up the Duke rape case, he's telling me, well, that's apples and oranges. No, it's not apples and oranges. We're talking about
how the community weighs in on a criminal matter involving a person of color who is a victim, and when you don't weigh the facts, not knowing the players behind the scenes and what they're doing, what chess pieces they're moving, when you don't know that, all you're going by is what the media tells you, how they decide to position an event for advertising purposes. That's what that is about. This is my show now. On this show, we're going to tell the truth without a whole bunch of histrionics. So in that matter, you had an overzealous prosecutor who lied on the white perps who were from Garden City, Long Island. I believe one of the perps was from Garden City, Long Island. These were moneyed white students. So you know we had to get them. We had to get them. This sister, quote-unquote, was wronged. When the facts came out, not the case. Not the case. Very suspicious. That same, quote-unquote, victim is in jail now for killing her boyfriend a few years after this. The black community was going to weigh in on that, lean in on it, without the facts. Only that we know is that a white man or white men were behind this, and we got to get them, and we're not concerned about vetting the victim. Who was this girl? We didn't care. All we know, she's black. Now, that's a more recent case. You can't go back to Tawana Brawley. You can, but you can't, because now you're going on 30 years now. But that's another example. Sometimes you get it wrong when you think tribally. So when someone like Kobe Bryant says, hey, wait a minute, I'm not going to support somebody just because they're black, I want to weigh in on the facts, you know what? If you use certain cases as a template, he doesn't come off stupid. Now, I wasn't allowed to say that, and I wasn't going to rehash the Trayvon Martin matter because I know that black emotions are still high on that case. I have and can continue to deconstruct that case. I can do it. Although Zimmerman's comportment after the fact stinks, he doesn't believe in fading into the sunset, nor did Orenthal James Simpson. He didn't want to fade into the sunset also, so that's a little freaky for me. But when you get to the bare bones of that case, there's problems with it. It's the media position that, Kirk, we've seen this before. We spoke about this behind the scenes. They gave you a cherubic 5 or 6-year-old picture of Trayvon Martin. They didn't give you his Facebook picture, the picture that Zimmerman saw. Why was it necessary for us to see the 11-year-old Trayvon Martin in a football uniform? That's not reporting. That's positioning. You're positioning this in a certain way. They know, and also for black folks, when you heard the surname Zimmerman, fools rush in. Before you saw it was a brown man. Listen, Captain, I hate being this intelligent sometimes. Hernandez from the Patriots, didn't he kill a brother allegedly?
Yes.
No one is as insist about that case. I'll tell you why. Because black and brown folk have political partnerships as well as issues. Black and browns have political partnerships, and we also have traded blows. In California, we are trading blows with each other. No one cares. You know why? Because you're talking about essentially equal minority status groups. No one cares. Hernandez is a thug, quote-unquote, allegedly or reportedly with gang connections, and his woman is a black woman, another person of color. So you know what? Black folks do the mathematics in their heads, and they say, oh, well, you know, a bunch of ends. Let that go. He's not Zimmerman. His surname isn't Zimmerman. If Zimmerman's name was Hernandez, and it was clear that he was brown, this wouldn't have been a big deal. We would have meekly said, you know, this kind of works itself. This is in the same soup. But when you heard Zimmerman, you said a white man, Zimmerman, did this. And you have to do something. Your only call to arms is when you think it's a white person there. You went in so too deep, well, we're going to have to make him white for the circumstances. For this situation, you are officially white. That's how that really worked out. That's how that really worked out. Can someone deconstruct that? What am I saying that's it's patently incorrect? I am not going to rush in, Captain. I have to agree with Kobe Bryant. And I think he has a stinky personality. I think his personality stinks. I think he's arrogant. I appreciate arrogance when it comes down to production. I consider myself an arrogant person. Arrogance has its place. Sometimes he's out of pocket with his arrogance. That's my problem with him. But on this issue, I agree. You cannot support every black person that comes through just because that is their only requirement, is that they're black. That sounds silly. Captain, your thoughts.
Well, what people have to understand, originally Kobe Bryant was raised abroad. He's fluent in Italian. You know, most of you Americans, no, I won't say most, a lot of Americans, you're not even fluent in English, to tell you the truth, especially some of you in your southern states. Oh, Lord, let's not even get into that. So that being said, someone such as Kobe Bryant going to have a different opinion when compared to the general overall consensus. That's just the way it works. And we live in a society that does not allow that. Doesn't allow that. And that's really what we're dealing with here. You have a different opinion. That's all. He thinks that way, that's okay. If he doesn't want to say something, that's okay too. That's all. That's all what we're really dealing with. And but for some reason, if you call up a liberal show and they're spouting off fallacious facts, and you check them, and your facts just happen to fall in line with conservative values, but these are the real facts, they have a problem with you. They do not listen to what you have just said. And the same way, it goes the opposite way. Vice versa. Conservative via, you know, conservative via liberal, liberal via conservative. This is the society that we live in at this given time. Food for thought, that's all. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd. We have a caller. 301, we see you. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yeah, we're going to get to the call in a moment. I want to mention something else as well. You know, there's a viral video. I think someone made reference to it in the chat room, a video that's very comical, but it makes me incensed. I had to laugh about it because of the ingenuity of this thing. I need to put the link to the video in the chat room. I'll do that in a moment. I'm going to play it for a moment. It's a musical thing. It's called, it has a pejorative, folks, so pardon me. It's called Coon Train, and it's meant to be a parody of Soul Train. And just to give you the visuals on this, it uses the intro of the legendary Soul Train, you know, the Soul Train intro, Soul Train music show, and it has the Soul Train line, but it has the faces of noted black conservatives superimposed on the Soul Train dancers as if they're quote-unquote cooning, which is really offensive to Soul Train because Soul Train was not a coon show. So if a black person's dancing, now you're cooning, but that's another thing. But anyway, for the sake of this viral video, photograph of Alan West, who I don't really agree with, but Alan West is like, his face is superimposed on a dancer, so it looks very comical that he's dancing. And you see Jesse Lee Peterson dancing. Another person I you know, he might actually be one, but be that as it may, Clarence Thomas, all these folks, you just have to be a black conservative. He had a number of Larry Elder, who we've had on the show before. He's dancing. So my thing is, even if you were to, even if you have this belief, you bypassed a whole slew of folks. What happened to Nicki Minaj's face being superimposed, or Rick Ross being superimposed, or any of the Atlanta Housewives, or any of these hip-hop people? All those people get a pass. You're most offended by the black conservative. That's what I don't understand. Why these guys? When really, their influence on popular culture is far less deleterious than the actual minstrels that you and I talk about almost on a weekly basis. He bypassed those people. Let me play this parody. And what he says, you have to pay attention to the ad-libs on this, folks. He's got ad-libs in between this parody. And some of the ad-libs, to me, meant to be comical, meant to be what a black conservative would say, because I am conservative. I don't have a problem with the ad-libs, but he's using the ad-libs to clown us. So I'm going to play this. We'll unpack, and I'll try to find the link so you can actually look at it. Hold on.
What about black on black crime? Where's the white women at? All white people ain't bad. We is our own worst enemy. What about black on black crime? Where's the white women at? All white people ain't bad. Is our own worst enemy. What about black on black crime? Where's the white women at? All white people ain't bad. We is our own worst enemy. What about black on black crime? Where's the white women at? All white people ain't bad.
All right. You get it. I was able to find the link. Go to the chat room, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the link for the visuals. The visuals are pretty funny. But aside from where the white women at, which is a comedic trope, when he says all white people aren't bad, well, that's a factual statement. That is factual. Think about Schwerner. I'm thinking about the three civil rights workers. One of them was African American. Cheney, Schwerner. Why can't I think of the other one? I think was it Goodman? Anyway, you had famously three civil rights workers that were killed. Two were of Jewish descent. They were white men that were killed for black justice, for the civil rights movement. All those folks that were against slavery, the abolitionists, John Brown, those folks, they were white people. I mean, let's be accurate about this stuff. Let's be accurate. All white folks aren't bad. I mean, that's as ignorant as the racists that say black people are bad, all black folks, when they talk about black folks in totality. You got to be fair about that. When he says, what about black-on-black crime? What about black-on-black crime? Last week, a 40-year-old male went on a Brooklyn bus, started shooting a Brooklyn city bus, started to shoot the bus up to go after some gang enemy, and killed another king man from the Dominican Republic. His family was on the cover of one of the local newspapers. This man was working, just wanted to make it home. He gets shot in the head. Another, a boy of color, takes him out, that's an issue. I think that's serious. You have a son and daughter and a wife whose father and husband is not home. I mean, this goes on. The black community doesn't say anything. This is regular. This is pretty regular. So what about black and black crime? We are our own worst enemies. When he throws those out as ad-libs, I'm saying, wait a minute. None of that is true? You gotta deal with the truth of the statement before you clown somebody. When Rob Reddy was trying to clown me about the Duke rape case, the Duke rape case was a real case where we rushed in and we were not correct. We didn't apologize. We just, you know, shrugged our shoulders and said, okay, we'll get them next time. Man, let's go to the calls. 301, welcome to the Grindhouse. This is the Afternoon Radio Show. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from. What's up?
Yeah, hey, thanks, D-Bert. This is B.A.
Hey, long time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hello, Captain. Yes, thank you. not to retread on the Trayvon Martin situation, but Trayvon Martin, in my opinion, was murdered in cold blood. No question about that. So, Kobe, listen, the problem was, you know, Trayvon was not a very sympathetic victim, okay? And the reason why he wasn't a sympathetic victim, because really, when they really get down to it in America, black folk really don't come through for each other. Nobody came to that trial and said that Trayvon was a good person, except his mama, okay? Nobody said a long line of people came marching to that court saying Zimmerman was a good man, okay, including his wife, all right? So the jury did not view Trayvon sympathetically, and they said so, okay? Now, as you just stated, I don't understand. Rob Redding, I'm disappointed in him. I'm disappointed in Coco Moe's show, you know, because black folk, and I don't buy into this collective think that I put Coco Moe and Rob Redding in, because we don't come through when it matters. And it matters for all the heinous crimes committed by others, including specifically white people, against blacks. It pales. It pales in comparison to the hellish life that we put each other through. It pales. What a quick example. When they were filming that reality show in Detroit, and cops busting in that the house, and a 7-year-old girl got shot in the head, and black folk went crazy, having protest marches and everything, you know. And it was a trial that resulted in a hung jury or mistrial. I got that, but nobody talked about what precipitated the raid. Nobody talks about how a grown ass 34-year-old black man shoots an innocent, unarmed 17-year-old high school student point blank in the chest over some PUSSY. Excuse me, D-Bert. Sorry about that.
That's all okay. Right.
Nobody talked about that murder and how despicable the dad of Ayanna Jones behaved. And by the way, they both were convicted of the murder. Okay? Nobody even know that they were convicted of the father of Ayanna Jones got shot in the head by the cop. He was convicted of first degree murder of a 17-year-old boy. Chickens coming home to roost. That karma is all throughout the black community. All the hell we bring on each other, it comes back like a boomerang 2-3 times as hard. Nobody talk about that. You know, we rather pick on black conservatives. But you know, that don't get us nowhere by talking about Clarence Thomas. Don't get us nowhere by talking about Elder, you know, the guy out in L.A. They don't do anything for us. But you can't tell black folks, you can't tell some of these commentators anything, and I wish them well. Thanks a lot, D-Bird. I'm signing off. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man. And as always, man, you kicked it hard and truthfully. That's all we ask on this show. We're going to keep it real here. We're not going to lie about it. That was B.A. from Maryland. Captain,
I want to mention just one other thing. I always want to give correct information. I should know this is history here. The Mississippi civil rights workers, Cheney, Goodman, and Schwerner. Cheney was the man of color. Schwerner and Goodman were the men of Jewish descent. These are all young people. The two young white males coming from north down in Mississippi, and they met the devil, literally, where they were all killed. But these were white men that gave their lives for a black cause. So when someone says all white people ain't bad, and trying to clown that statement, I mean, yeah, that's really true, isn't it? That is a true statement. I mean, you would want to hear that from the opposite side, would you? Would you want people to think cross ethnically that all black people are poor and down and out and thugging and killing each other? Do you want everyone to think that way? No. So for this cartoon or this little parody to be viral and to clown the black conservative and to go to the black conservative, this is hinting at what BA was talking about, to obfuscate everything else. But the black conservative is the problem. You have people on wax, gross, making it okay to put a drug or to rap about putting drugs in a young woman's drink, and she didn't even know it. And then when he's called up on it, he doesn't really apologize to the community. When Nicki Minaj takes a hot defecation with that big ass of hers on the iconic imagery of Malcolm X, that should have been her death knell. Not literally, but as far as her professional career. It really should have been her death knell. How dare you? Now, that's something that Rob Redding should have been far, far more fiery about. Well, that is an unquestionable thing. That is truly unquestionable. But when she was called up on it, what is it now? Why are you bothering me? I took it off for you people. This is a black woman who has just as much hatred for you as any Klansman. But you say nothing. There's no boycotts. There's no contact of sponsors. No one is pulled to the hilt, pulled by the collar to say, knock it off. I mean, this is, what am I saying? And what am I saying is so offensive? And BA knows that I'm a Coco Mode show, and I'm trying to tone that down because these people are just locked. It's between radio shtick. It's a bit of radio shtick and dishonesty. I'm pushing this lifeless agenda down the throats of black people. And I said this on her show, repeating something that reportedly was said by Albert Einstein, that the definition of insanity is to repeat the same thing over and over again, getting a different result. I mean, that is the definition of insanity. And that's exactly what we are doing. So I want to play some more clips along the same theme to show you what is out here. I want to say a couple of things. Bill O'Reilly is at it again about race hustlers. But you know what? Didn't have a problem with what he said. Now, the liberal set, the arbiters of blackness, they had a problem. Thought what he said, it's because Bill O'Reilly said it. It's because he said it. But I think there's an element of truth to what he says. He said this last week on his show, The O'Reilly Factor, about race hustlers, and he was sticking up for Paul Ryan. I thought Paul Ryan was out of pocket, but we also said, you know what? We're in murky times. Some of that stuff, there's a grain of truth to what he was saying. We're in murky times where nigger and nigger, they occupy the same universe. That murkiness that we don't want to talk about. Hold on. O'Reilly on race hustlers.
Joining us now from Washington is Congressman Ryan. So I understand you had a phone call with Ms. Lee. How did that go?
Well, I've known Barbara for many years. Look, there was nothing racial whatsoever in what I said. And if you listen to the full context of all of my remarks, that's pretty clear. So what I'd like to do, and I mentioned this, is let's get beyond throwing baseless charges at people. Let's not impugn people's motives or characters, and let's have a real conversation about what we really need to do to truly fight poverty in America. If the status quo was working so well, then we wouldn't have to do that. It's not.
All right,
we have the highest poverty rates in a generation, and so we should have a conversation about addressing these root causes of poverty and the problems that are facing poverty without throwing names at each other.
Okay, did Congressman Lee apologize? Congresswoman Lee apologize?
No, but look, Barbara and I have known each other for many years, and look, I just wanted to clarify the point that I've been making.
How did she respond?
Well, she does not believe that I have these views. She knows me well.
Then
and
why
she
did
knows
she say
that
you
I
did?
Don't have a racist bone in my body.
Then why did she imply you did?
Well, you'd have to ask Barbara that. But
did
the
you
point
ask
I'm making,
her?
Bill,
did you ask her?
Yeah, I made it very clear that what I said had nothing to do with race
whatsoever.
Are
you mad at her?
No, I'm not mad at her.
I would be.
I'm a big boy. I understand that if you challenge the status quo, that if you get into these issues, sometimes you'll be misinterpreted. But no, also, I really believe we got to have a real conversation about how to fix these things without throwing these charges at people.
With all due respect to you, because I think you're a good man, they don't want a conversation. They don't want to solve the problem. These race hustlers make a big living, and they get voted into office by portraying their constituents as victims. And it's all your fault, and it's my fault. It's the rich people's fault. It's the Republicans' fault. It's everybody's fault except what's going on. And what's going on, as you know, is a dissolution of the family. And you don't have proper supervision of children, and they grow up with no skills, and they can't read and speak, and they have tattoos on their neck, and they can't compete in a marketplace. And that's what's going on. But if you say that, you're a racist. So no matter what you say, Congressman, you're going to be branded because the race hustlers don't want to solve the problem.
I don't know, Captain.
Can you compete?
That's, didn't B.A. say that? Isn't
yes.
that B.A.'s thing?
Yep.
Now
can
he laid.
Compete?
Now, that's what he said. Listen, he's saying what I said. What BA has said. What we've all said. We've seen folks of color and other ethnicities as well. The tattoos on the neck. You can't speak proper English. You're not able to compete, and you're angry. I mean, this is true. It is a reality. Whether we like or dislike O'Reilly's performance, just like Rob Reddy is a performer, the truth has to sneak in there at some point. Now, I want to play another clip. We have our friend from Chi-Town. I believe he's on hold. I'm going to bring him in a moment.
Can I say something just quickly? Quickly?
Quick, because I want to go to a quick time.
I've seen a guy, all right, in Long Island, all right, and he was a black guy. He was going, this was 2 weeks ago, he was going for a job interview at Home Depot, right? He had on a do-rag. Need I say more? That's all.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all. Need I say more?
Well, you can't say anything. If you know, these people believe in coddling. Let's go to them. This is Dr. Ben Carson, who I don't agree with on a wholesale way, but some things I do agree with him. He's a very impressive figure. It was Ben Carson, Representative Donna Edwards on Fox News, talking about the Trayvon Martin thing and about profiling. It was respectful for the majority of the interview, ladies and gentlemen, but once it goes in a certain direction that the liberal person doesn't like, they become interruptive. And I don't understand. They will not allow you the courtesy of completion. If you don't conduct yourself lockstep with the black monolith, they're going to forcibly shut you down. Hold on. Ben Carson, Donna Edwards on Fox News.
Right, but let's talk about another aspect of this, a systemic aspect of that. The president talked very briefly in his extended remarks about black-on-black crime. And as I looked into this, the numbers are just staggering. Let's put them up on the screen. African Americans make up 13% rather, of the population. But between 1976 and 2005, they committed more than half of all the murders in the U.S. And 93% of black murder victims are killed by blacks. Congresswoman Edwards, should the African American community be focusing on that, the black-on-black crime, the carnage in our inner cities, and not on George Zimmerman?
Well, let me tell you, to be clear, when we're focused on addressing issues of poverty, when we're focused on improving our education system, when we're focused on changing gun laws because there are so such a rampant availability of guns in our inner cities, and we have no inner city agenda in this country. That's focusing on those statistics that you just talked about.
But when you have people demanding, let's go after George Zimmerman, let's hate crimes, economic boycotts of Florida, that isn't talking about the real problems in the inner city.
Well, I'm just going to say to you, because there have been some calls for those kind of actions, it doesn't mean we're not, you know, sort of one-trick ponies. We're able to focus on a range of different things. And if you just look, even in this last 2 weeks in the Congress, the debate in the Congress has been about things like, do we provide for food and nutrition? Do we address issues of poverty? Are we going to make sure we have an education system that works for all of our young people so that they can succeed? And to the president's call, are we going to address the laws that actually contribute to the problems in our city?
Let me bring Dr. Carson into this. I understand the concern with racial profiling, but is that the real threat to young black men?
I don't think it is. I grew up in the inner city and had an opportunity to experience a lot of the problems that were there. And many of those problems are a result of the environment in which people grow up in and the philosophies that people develop. For instance, you know, in the inner city community, if it's late at night and you're walking along and somebody starts following you, you know, that's a serious issue. You know that immediately. And you go into a fight or flight mentality. That may not happen, you know, walking in a gated community in, Palm Springs.
Dr. Carson,
so, you know, it depends
young
a lot.
Men and my,
it depends
young,
a lot
my son
on
and
the,
young men
excuse,
tell me all
excuse
the time
Excuse me if I could
that
finish,
are,
I would appreciate
profiled.
That. May I finish
I mean,
my
I don't
comment
think,
and then...
Well, I just want to say, Dr. Carson, you really cannot ignore the fact that our young black men, in fact, are profiled. I have a young man who works for me. He's a college graduate. Three times in this last month, he's been stopped by law enforcement going to work.
Okay, let me give, because we're about to run out of time, let's give Dr. Carson the final word. And I guess the key point is George Zimmerman a diversion from the real issue facing, the real threat facing young African-American men?
Right. Now, what I was trying to get across is that when you grow up in that environment, you develop a different type of philosophy. And in fact, Trayvon Martin may well have had that philosophy and went into this fight or flight mode. So we can't necessarily say that he's evil or horrible more so than anybody else when you grow up with that particular type of mentality. But again, I want to come back to what I was saying before. So often, we take any kind of situation that occurs today in America and we get on the different sides of it and we hurl hand grenades at each other rather than engaging in intelligent discussion. This is what we need to do. Do we have a perfect system? Absolutely not. Does everybody think about things the right way? Absolutely not. But we're never going to get there if we continue to make ourselves into enemies.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there, Dr.
All right, you get the gist. But ladies and gentlemen, you saw how Ms. Edwards just interrupted him, right? And it just wasn't going to let it go down. And this is what I'm dealing with. That if you go, you know, this was a 12 minute conversation. That one question when they were going into victimization, what's going on in the neighborhoods, a certain kind of mentality and malaise. And what he saw was an issue, she was not going to allow him courtesy of completion. And that I don't get. She openly was disrespectful to this man just because she doesn't agree. The man's allowed to have his point. Let the man make a point, then you come in. But they will shut you down, man. That's what I don't get. Let's go to the calls. We got about 3 minutes. 312, I think this is Serge again. Serge?
Oh, it's too late now. I don't have much time. I was going to say with earlier was that the thing about what's the guy's name? Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly's a race hustler himself. You know, I'm not that impressed when he gets on his show and talk about certain black people being race hustlers, because that's what he does. Who is his audience? His audience, the Fox audience, is mainly made up of white guys in their mid to late 60s. That's the average audience. So he's not talking to black people. He's talking to white people who are just basically to reassess their beliefs. You know, if he had any real courage, why don't he go to a black neighborhood or have a group of black people in Harlem and say the exact same things instead from the safety of a TV studio?
Well, duly noted. We got about 2 minutes. I got to mention some things. Thanks, Serge.
And by the way, just to follow up on the Ebony thing, because you mentioned it earlier about the Ebony situation,
yeah.
Where the woman attacked Jamela Lemieux attacked one Williamson, mm-hmm. calling him white, right? Okay, this is the same woman who was allowing Ebony to steal articles from Shadow and Act.
Well, there you go.
Without any credit. Right? And even when we had to threaten legal action until she stopped it.
Well, you know what? We'll revisit her on Wednesday. I want you to go in on that. We're going to bring it up on Wednesday because we don't have enough time. And I got to mention something before we go off air. Thanks,
well,
sir.
Remind
Wednesday.
Me, because there's a whole situation where, you know, this is where this woman's coming from. We had to threaten legal action for her to stop stealing our articles verbatim without any
credit. We'll get into it. We got about a minute. We'll get into it. Thanks, Serge. Appreciate
all right.
it. Quickly, we're going to have to pick this up because there's some things I didn't get a chance to talk about. What Sergio was referencing, this controversy with Ebony Magazine and Raffi Williams, who is Juan Williams' son, and she made some derogatory remarks about him being conservative and black. She didn't even know that he was black. And then, but it was all about a black conservative magazine that Armstrong Williams is putting together, and she didn't like it. You know, again, what are these black folks doing? They're not thinking like me. Why? Anyway, quickly, we're working on getting Lord Jamar, hip-hop artist from the Brand Nubians, who has labeled himself a hip-hop conservative, talking about these young men like Omar Epps wearing dresses and just this whole movement toward kind of feminizing black men on wax. So we spoke behind the scenes. We're working on getting an actual time. So Lord Jamar of the classic hip-hop group Brand Nubians will be gracing Afro-Nerd Studios real soon. Folks, it's been real. We will do it again on Wednesday. Captain, any closing remarks, anything to put out there?
Nope, that's it. Wednesday, we'll do it.
Yes, folks. Remember, midweek in review edition of Afro Nerd, Wednesday, 7:30. That's our new time. And going out on something, we always try to give you a good groove. This is Joe Cocker with Clarence Clemons, Unchain My Heart. See you next week.
Unchain my heart, baby. Let me be, 'cause you don't care. Well, please set me free. Unchain my heart, baby. Let me go. Unchain my heart, 'cause you don't love me no more. Every time I call you on the phone, some valley tells me that you're not at home. Unchain my heart, set me free. Unchain my heart, baby. Love. Set me free.